Okay, well, happy new year, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Rewards Canada podcast series. This week's episode is special for two reasons. First, it's our 50th episode, which is an important and proud milestone to celebrate. And second, we're trying a new panel discussion format this week. We've invited a fellow loyalty industry expert and personal finance blogger, Bear Choi, to the program, and he joins us to look back at 2018 and some key industry developments, as well as turning our attention to 2019, and we'll talk about some bold predictions on what collectors can expect. So let's get on with it. First off, Happy New Year, Patrick, and welcome, Barry. Barry, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
If you could please tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the loyalty space, that would be great.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, my dad actually worked for Starwood Hotels when he was working. And the funny thing is, my dad didn't even realize he had this employee discount. And when I finally figured it out, I was probably in my early 20s. It was this thing where, like, oh my god, I can get really cheap hotels. But the problem was, you couldn't always get it for, like, every single hotel or every single date. So I decided, I was like, hey, you know what? I'd like to not change hotels. I'd like to stay at the Starwood Hotel, but what do I need to pay as little as possible? And that's where I realized, oh, there's the SPG program, and you just need points to book your hotel. And, you know, this is probably almost a decade ago. And I think at the time, MBNA had Starwood, and you could get literally 20,000 points just for signing up. So to me, right away, that was two nights at the lower category hotels. This is way before they changed all the categories. And then I quickly realized, wow, sign-up bonuses are really lucrative. I didn't go through the process of canceling cards, but I just earned points with that credit card through my regular spending and just kept using them as quickly as I could.
Meanwhile, we were talking about the fact that story may not be so unique in the fact that so many people have got into this this space simply from taking advantage of those rich offers.
That's exactly it. You know, it's weird that you apply for the first time when you're younger, you're thinking like, oh, I should only have one credit card. And then you do a little bit of research. It's like, it doesn't hurt to have two credit cards as long as I'm paying my bills. Just keep taking advantage of those rich sign-up bonuses. Again, this is a decade ago where there's some really, really good offers at any given moment.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, then let's start with the first question for this podcast, and that is, what was the biggest highlight of 2018? Patrick, I'll start with you. What, in your opinion, was the biggest highlight of 2018?
There's a couple ways we can go with that, but I think, of course, 2018, the big news was Air Canada Aeroplan, and the highlight was Air Canada essentially buying back Aeroplan from Aimia. Now, I'm not saying whether this is good news, bad news, but that's probably the biggest highlight of the year was all the drama going on around that, like the whole push from Aeroplan about all these new partners and options, and you know, Air Canada going out surveying 30,000 of their members and seeing the disappointment from those members and realizing, well, you know what, we may have screwed up here, maybe we should just buy Aeroplan and then, you know, fold it into our new program. So that's definitely the big highlight on the, I'd say, on the loyalty side. And on the credit card side, I think it's just the expansion of the no foreign transaction fee cards. Of course, the big one was Scotia's Passport Visa Infinite card, because they're the first major bank issuer to offer a no foreign transaction fee card. We saw it from other card issuers, but smaller players in the market, they were the first big player in the market to come out with it.
Well, those were certainly big highlights, and no doubt the Air Canada Aeroplan announcement dominated the news there for a while. Barry, what about you? What were some of the highlights in your opinion of 2018?
You know, I'm going to agree with Patrick on one thing. Definitely the no foreign transaction fee thing. And it comes down to, you know, first it was Chase leaving the market. You know, everyone kind of knew about it the previous year, but it was still fun to see the uproar when they actually left. And fortunately, like you said, the Scotiabank Passport and Infinite card came out almost like a week after by coincidence. So this wasn't timed. It was just good luck on their end. But then it was interesting to see other credit card companies, lesser known ones, Brim, who I don't love, but Stack. The point is there's more competition. And with Scotiabank offering it, maybe it's time for other credit card companies to realize this is something that consumers want and are demanding. So maybe we should go that way. As far as the travel side of things, I think the Marriott-SPG formal merger was a big, big deal. I love hotels. It's just, it's not the program itself that, well, it is the program. I mean, think about it. There were so many changes. There were some positives and some negatives. Some big things like the vacation packages all of a sudden required more points. But the thing about this is a lot of people complained about it. But the people complaining are usually churners or people who had a lot of points, which I certainly understand. But people got to realize these were two very different programs. When Marriott bought SVG, it wasn't, you know, fair to say they should just merge everything and get you the best perks of everything. They were two different programs, right? It made business sense for Marriott. And yeah, am I disappointed to a certain extent? Yes, but I like what a lot of some of the new features too. And it'll just be interesting to see what happens because Marriott constantly makes changes to their credit cards and their loyalty program. So I'm excited to see what comes in the future with them.
And of course, we were at that event together, and it was a big deal, and they put on a heck of a party.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's you know, I talked about the Aeroplan, but yeah, Marriott SPG definitely big globally, maybe less so for Canadians, even though it's a huge program for Canadians. But definitely, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people crack down on Marriott. They didn't like what Marriott was doing, but like Barry said, you have two very different programs. Marriott had a huge footprint of hotels where their loyalty program didn't have to be strong because they had the locations, whereas Starwood, on the other hand, had to have a strong loyalty program because their footprint worldwide wasn't very big. And how do you attract customers to stay at a, you know, a chain that has a lot less hotels? Well, you have to offer a lot of good benefits. And Marriott, in their own right, didn't have to bring over anything from SPG, but they did a pretty good job in bringing over some of the key benefits. I know some of the elite status, like gold, isn't as valuable now as it used to be. But that's going to be a given when you have 100+ million members and, you know, what is it, over 6,000 hotels to choose from. There has to be give and take in that whole kind of integration and transition. So definitely big news as well on the Marriott SPG. And that's still going to continue this year with the new name. Right now, there's rumors that it's going to be called Bonvoy from Bon Voyage because they trademarked a logo and a name for it. So we'll see if that happens. The good news right now when you're listening to this podcast is we didn't know when in 2019 the Category 8 hotels would be introduced. And we've now learned that's not going to be till March. So you have a couple months left here to book hotels that'll cost north of 80,000 points for only 60,000 points a night. And remember, when you book five or more nights, you get one free as well. So it's right now it's a really good deal to, if you can, redeem for some of those high-end hotels. I know I got my eye, and I'm going to be looking over the next week here at some of the maybe South Pacific and maybe Indian Ocean offerings for this summer for our family, just because, you know, I'd like to get in on some of those at 60,000 points rather than 85,000 or more.
Yeah, and Barry and Patrick, Barry just had a correction. It's four nights.
Four nights get the fifth one free.
Yeah, I get fifth free.
Yeah. So there, yeah. You're right. There is a lot of value, basically, that you're saying. You know, 240,000 points basically gets you five nights at these properties that could normally cost you $1,000 plus per night. So either way, you're getting an incredible amount of value there.
Absolutely.
So take advantage of it. Okay, well, look, let's talk about some of the biggest surprises and or disappointments from 2018. And Barry, I'll start with you on that.
Yeah. Surprises is always like it's a weird question because it depends on like what your definition of surprise is. So, you know, right off the top, I'd say I'm surprised that Simply Financial put out a credit card this year with a pretty decent earn rate. But at the same time, maybe this is a question for later. It's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they devalue it next year, mm-hmm. right? I was surprised that BMO devalued their credit card, the BMO World Elite, but they didn't really, all they really did is complicate their own reward system, right? It's like, oh, now it costs 140 points to claim, you know, your travel. It's like, why are you making this more complicated? And then, you know, again, from a marketing perspective, they tried to make it sound like you're earning more points, but in reality, it's like, no, like technically you're earning more points.
But they're worthless.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the surprise, and I, you know, it's not really a surprise, is just how many negative headlines there were. Just in general, we'll get into this throughout the episode, it's just credit cards in 2017, 2018 have not been favorable towards Canadians. So every day is a surprise. Even Amex, they had some interesting changes for negative, and then they flip-flopped and made it better again. But, you know, credit card companies, they're entitled to do that. So to me, it's always, okay, let's see what's next, and let's see how we can use it to our advantage.
Well, and just on that point, and then Patrick, I'll get you to respond. You know, I think what you're also starting to see and hear from just consumers in general is backlash against organizations that complicate things or you know, change the rules or, you know, have this sort of bait and switch kind of tactic that they deploy. The risk to these brands is significant. So maybe one of the general messages and you know, warnings to these credit card companies is keep it simple and certainly don't try to pull the wool over somebody's eyes because, you know, you'll likely get called out. Patrick, what about you? Any big surprises or anything you want to add to what Barry shared?
Yeah, I don't know if there was any huge surprises. It was kind of a same old kind of year. You know, you're expecting these kind of changes from the credit card companies, loyalty companies. Like Barry said, some of the companies have toyed with different things. I mean, we've seen Rogers change up their World Elite MasterCard. They went basically away from a no foreign transaction fee to charging a transaction fee, but offering more points. Tangerine, you know, like you said, I'm going back to your saying simply how they do in a credit card. We saw the same thing with Tangerine. They came out with a strong card and then, you know, totally devalued it probably a year in or so. Everybody's kind of testing the market. You know, Brim Financial looked really promising at the start, but a lot of people had issues even getting their cards and everything. But now I think you'll see ourselves and probably Barry and others cover them more. You know, we've been kind of hesitant to cover them because we don't know enough about them. But I think they're starting to get their act together. So I think you're going to see more coverage of Brim Financial. And it may be a surprise, maybe not. I mean, it's, you know, all the card companies are kind of issuing or offering very close to the same offers in terms of your sign-up bonuses, in terms of your general earn rates. I agree with Barry, be more complicated things, you know, make things easier. I mean, they've always done this. You know, I've called out companies in the past. Years ago, we wrote an article about you have to look at both sides of the equation, earning and burning, and we kind of called out TD because for years, their first-class Visa Infinite card, this is going back probably half a dozen years, has been advertised as earn 3 points per dollar, you know, and it's marketed that way, and everybody thinks, ooh, it's huge because all these other cards only earn 1 point, but they don't tell you that the redemption is different. You know, it's not the same redemption as those 1 point cards. So it just goes back to that whole thing that people need to have that knowledge and look at both sides, look at the earn side, look at the burn side, and then make your decision. We're seeing, you know, same thing. BMO offers 2 points to 3 points on this World Elite MasterCard. But they're not telling you, you know, on the redemption side so much. You have to kind of dig through their site to find that. Was it a surprise from BMO? Kind of, you know, I was kind of surprised considering what the competition's offering in terms of the cards, but I think we're seeing a shift here in cards moving to trying to offer other benefits. You know, CIBC with their Aventura offering the Nexus option. Is it a huge value? No, but it's something different, right? So they went the priority pass route, which a lot of other cards offered, but Nexus was this first new kind of option. You know, your Scotia Infinite with the no FX fees for a major issuer. So we're looking at these card companies starting to issue other, you know, other benefits that they're trying to attract customers beyond just the rewards.
And I'll just throw one other thing out there that we talked about, Patrick. We talked about some of these, you know, what we'll call buddy passes or passes that companion passes, as they're more, I guess, formally referred to. You know, Air Miles offered that. We talked about WestJet's always offered the companion passes. In the idea of trends continuing, do we see that as something that we might more players start to introduce as in terms of other perks in 2019?
I think we may. It all depends on the partnerships that the card issuers have. Usually these companion passes have to be in terms of a separate loyalty program. So you have your Air Miles, your WestJets. You know, later this year, you know, I know we're talking about this will come up later, but what's going to happen in 2019 is we may start learning details of the new Air Canada program, the one that Aeroplan is going to roll into. And I think we may see Air Canada hopefully head that route as well to have this companion pass offer. Because you see it from WestJet, we have it on Alaska, the British Airways Visa has it. Air Miles is offering as a limited time option, but we may see it come in full time, and the Air Miles Reserve card from Amex also offers it. So there's a lot of options out there in terms of that companion pass, and it it can provide huge value in it. And what it does too is it helps people, or helps the companies, have people keep the card rather than churning, because it's an annual benefit. And sometimes it's just better to keep the card rather than cancel, get it again, because you may not get the sign-up bonus, so you might as well just keep the card for that companion pass. So it's definitely a very good marketing tactic, as long as a program can make value out of it.
Got it. And so, Barry, I'll ask you the same question. Any trends from 2018 you see continuing in 2019?
Yeah, you know, Patrick talked about the companion fares, and that's obviously linked to any airline program, but I think there was a trend where we were seeing new benefits that we never saw before. Part of that reason was probably because a lot of credit cards now offer lounge passes, party pass memberships, so that's no longer anything special. But, you know, CIPC, the Aventura card, they gave a Nexus rebate. They were the first major bank to introduce mobile device insurance. HSBC's Premier World Elite credit card had a free Boingo Wi-Fi membership. So to me, it's an interesting thing. I think we'll start to see, I don't know if it's a marketing thing or whatever, new benefits come in where they're going to try to, you know, get people attached. And similar to what Patrick was saying, it's like, hey, here's a yearly benefit that you can use. So there's no reason to cancel your membership because you're going to get this regardless. Yes, we talk about sign-up bonuses, but for the casual consumer, they're not going to be looking to cancel their credit card every year. If they're getting value for their annual fee, there's a good chance they'll keep it.
Well, that, for the credit card company, sounds exactly what they're interested in. All right. Well, look, let's talk about you know, what reward programs or credit card companies are likely to make the most noise in 2019. And I guess I'll start with you, Patrick, again. Is there a company out there that you think it's going to be their year to shine?
As to shine, I think if WestJet can get their act together, WestJet Rewards, and their new planes coming in, their changes happening, they may be the ones to watch. I have to be honest with you, just flew WestJet last week, and I wasn't as happy as with them as when I previously flew them. But I think they're kind of in a identity crisis. They're trying to find themselves right now. They're growing out of that whole low-cost carrier. They're not a low-cost carrier anymore. They're trying to become a full-fledged carrier. And the service and employees need to catch up with what they're trying to do. And if they can do that, you know, they just launched the Platinum status. They're going to be opening up their first own branded lounges, WestJet lounges. They have the 787s coming in, first flight February 20th from Toronto to Calgary, and then, you know, a couple months after that, they'll start with the long haul out of Calgary to places like Paris and Dublin. You know, so they're definitely one to watch, but I think, you know, they have to be very careful in how they do it. I think they need to train their employees and the people quicker than they're doing. Just because they seem to be having some of the service issues right now that comes with being a bigger airline. So they're definitely one to watch. Of course, Air Canada, they would be smart to start revealing details of their program probably, you know, by third quarter of this year. Start letting people know what's going to happen come July. Give some ideas as to what's going to be with the altitude program, what their credit card is going to offer. Start building up some hype. You know, you don't have to give away everything because you don't want your competitors to jump on you and offer these things before you, but start building hype in this new program, you know, at least 8 to 10 months beforehand. So I think we'll see that happen. Hotel side, Marriott SPG will continue. We'll see what they're going to name their new program. Other than that, I think we'll be relatively quiet. We'll see the usual changes. IHG's already released their list of hotels that are changing categories. We'll see. I mean, Marriott SPG aren't. I think they have 5 hotels that are changing right now because most of their changes happened last August. But for the rest of the hotel chains, it seems pretty status quo. And credit cards, like Barry mentioned earlier in the podcast, we may see another big player go the no foreign transaction fee route. It all depends on if they're seeing kind of a loss of membership because of Scotia. You know, I don't know if Scotia's done a great job yet of marketing the whole no foreign transaction fee. There are people who definitely have knowledge of it, but I think that they can do a lot better push for it. And if that happens, then we may see other players do it. Because right now, as we mentioned years ago on Rewards Canada, why we hadn't seen no foreign exchange fees take off yet is that it's an expensive proposition for Canadian issuers because it makes up a larger part of their revenue pie than, say, American cards, because we do a lot of online shopping in US dollars. Canadians per capita travel more internationally. We travel a lot to the US. So our Canadian card issuers stand to lose a lot more by giving up that 2.5% than, say, US card issuers.
Makes sense. Barry, what about yourself?
I would like to think Air Canada is going to make some announcements about their credit cards and Aeroplan program. I just don't have any faith in Air Canada whatsoever. It's like, you know, they almost flip-flopped into this whole Aeroplan buying it. It's just like, you know, the program, obviously they don't technically own it. It's always been difficult. So, you know, yeah, I'd like for them to tease us with some great announcements, but, you know, I just don't have any faith. You know, Patrick talked about WestJet. I actually like the changes that they've made with WestJet Rewards. To me, they're kind of like, hey, Air Canada, like, your move. We've already introduced these better tiers. How they implement it might be another question, but, you know, that Platinum tier was interesting. WestJet Dollars is a very easy program to understand, right? It's cashback. The higher tier, you can earn almost up to 10%, which is nuts. But as far as loyalty programs, who might make the most noise this year, I think it's got to be American Express. Just because a lot of their stuff is partners related. Obviously, we talked about how they're partnered with Marriott right now, right? So, you know, last year they basically converted the SVG card to the current Marriott card. Maybe Marriott decides they want their own branded card. Maybe they decide, like, hey, you know what? We think we can offer consumers more. It's not something that, it's not unheard of from Marriott. So it'd be interesting to see. We already know that, you know, you're going to get 15 Elite Night status is added to your card. So that's good if you're caring about status. But also think about Amex's other partners. You know, we talked about how Air Canada now owns Aeroplan. Would I be surprised if Aeroplan all of a sudden loses that partnership? No, I think it'd be foolish for Air Canada just to end that relationship. But at the same time, it wouldn't be a surprise if all of a sudden that's gone. But also more importantly, you look at the membership rewards, especially for the Platinum users. Amex last year gave an incredible amount of benefits, and you may have not heard of it unless you were a cardholder. So, you know, just a few months ago, there was, hey, you spend $100 at Berks and you get $100 statement credit. That's basically free money when you think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was last year, if it was the year before, but it was spend $200 at duty free at YYZ and you get $200 statement credit. Again, that's amazing. Or even something small recently I saw, it's like you can earn up to $25 in statement credits by shopping at small merchants. So that's one way to highlight that they've got new merchant partners, just the small businesses, which a lot of people complain about. But Amex has made an effort to build those relationships and get more vendors on board. And like I said, their Platinum benefits, they've just been really just onboarding more and more partners to let their Platinum members know that, hey, you're getting a lot of benefits this card. Yes, there is a high annual fee, but you're getting a lot of value out of it.
Definitely some good things to keep our eyes and ears open to. Why don't we talk about opportunities for collectors this year then? So given what both you guys are saying on programs and companies to look out for, what can collectors expect in terms of earning opportunities this year, and where will those best opportunities lie?
Oh gosh. I guess I'll start off on this one. So just continue on with Barry. Amex is doing a lot more of these kind of individualized or specific offers. We saw, you know, for the Cobalt card 10 times at Amazon during Christmas, which could be combined with 10 times from the Aeroplan e-store, or the 5 times at the Air Miles shops, online shops had. So they're doing a lot more of these kind of specific short-term offers than the long-term offers. But the key is that you have to have the membership or the card, right? And like Barry said, so the Platinum cards just had that duty-free offer again this past winter here for the last few weeks. It wasn't as lucrative as the year before, but it was still there. So I think you definitely have to have these cards to find them. But sometimes it's tough because around 80 travel rewards cards alone, and then you bring in other reward programs like cashback, you have probably 150, 160 cards out there that offer some type of rewards here in Canada. So it's hard to keep up with them all. I think, like Barry touched upon, the key ones to have are like an Amex membership rewards, you know, we always say you should have one Visa, one MasterCard, one Amex. Make sure you do that, because then you can take advantage of a lot of different promotions out there. I've started getting more and more emails from people like RBC and BMO with particular offers for, you know, the MasterCards as well. So just kind of exclusive offers where it is statement credits. You spend $25, get $5 or $10 back. So the key is to subscribe to those, to the email communications, so you can find out about the offers, because some of them are limited. The Amex one, some of those have been limited to 5,000 members, 10,000 members. So as soon as you get the email, you should click on it and register. So you'll definitely want to watch that. I think one of my predictions for this year is, I think once the Category 8 in Marriott/SPG comes out, we may see a boost in the sign-up bonus on the SPG card from Amex up to 60,000. Like we see in the States, because right now they've kept it at 50, which kind of makes sense. It's kind of making you spend on the card to get to that 60,000 point level where you can redeem for some of the high-end hotels. So as soon as the higher-end ones come out at 85,000, then you're going to have to, you know, it's a little, or I guess a little more appealing to offer 60,000. It's further away, but, you know, it makes it a good sign-up bonus. So I think that's something we may see, too, coming this year.
Okay. probably a good opportunity to plug both of your websites.
Why not?
I mean, look, if it's not obvious, with all the cards out there, with all the programs, it's hard to keep track of these offers, and that's, of course, why Rewards Canada exists. It's why Barry's blog exists. It's to help folks stay on top of these great offers and get advice on where to spend their money and their time. Okay, well, look, let's talk about then some of the obvious sort of pitfalls or watchouts for reward program members to consider this year. Is there anything coming sort of down the pike that individuals need to be aware of that may be unique changes to either rules or how these programs are being managed that they may not otherwise be aware of? And Barry, we'll start with you. Anything you want to highlight?
Yeah, this could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. It seemed like this year there was a lot more like gift card offers. You know, you sign up, instead of getting a bigger sign-up bonus, you get like, hey, $100 gift card or a rebate or whatever. So I think for the casual consumer, that's probably a good thing, because the way they see it is, hey, I get the annual fee waived sometimes, and then I get a $100 gift card for Amazon or whatever. That's great. But for people who understand the value of points, that may not necessarily be a good thing, because I might be like, hey, I'd rather have the 10,000 points because that's actually worth $250 to me or whatever. So that's something to look out for. And also, I think people got to understand, it's like, we should expect that sign-up bonuses just aren't as lucrative as they used to be. This year, we had a few random really, really good ones. But at the same time, it's just like, they're just not what they used to be. The things you really got to look out for is like, where can I combine different sign-up bonuses to make it worth my while? A good example is earlier this year, the RBC Avion card had 25,000 points. I think it was first year free. But you could transfer those points to WestJet dollars. That's basically gave you $250. You sign up for a WestJet card, there's another $250. So it's just really being smart about what offers are out there and what you can combine. But at the same time, I understand a lot of people may not be willing to just sign up for a ton of credit cards. Fortunately, I'm assuming most people who listen to this podcast have no problem with signing up for credit cards. But like you said, just stick to your resources, follow. Another thing I would say, maybe this is just me talking personally, and I know Patrick feels like this, like, you know, stick to credible sources. When you've got certain people who you know have inside knowledge and have the contacts, when they tell you certain news is coming, it's probably believable. But there's a lot of websites out there who are just trying to get a referral bonus or trying to get the eyes on their website, and they'll say anything, trying to get that headline or getting the clicks, but in reality, quite often, they're just wrong, right? Maybe this is my news days, but you should use a credible source.
I think that's a good point, and one I'm pretty sure Patrick would echo.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. There are sites out there, you know, that are putting out some information that, like you said, is not fully. You can't say true, but I mean, they're not telling you that there's better stuff out there or how you can use it. And it comes down to the marketing that the banks themselves are doing. You know, we touched upon the TD, the BMO. You know, they'll tell you earn this many points, but they don't tell you how the reward program, like the redemption side, works. So, again, yeah, be careful. You know, go to multiple sources, reliable ones, like you said. Like you said, there are sites out there that will only carry, we'll talk about, three different brands of cards because that's all they earn commissions on or referral bonuses on. So you have to be careful with that. Make sure you check everything, look at both sides of the equation. Definitely something, it's just all about that knowledge and learning. And like you said, I think most people who listen to this podcast, I think, are aware of that. And I've just have to touch upon the idea, like what Barry said, is ways you can combine. I just answered on our blog yesterday, somebody was asking that they like the Alaska program, have the MBNA card. How can they boost their balance more? Well, get yourself the SPG Amex because that converts to Alaska. So same thing, if you're somebody who collects British Airways Executive Club Avios, you have your Visa Infinite Avion, you have your Amex cards. There's lots of different options out there for converting. Even like MBNA's Best Western card, maybe the conversion rate's not as great, but it converts to 17 different airline programs. There's just a lot of different, I guess, combinations, permutations, whatever you want to call it, going back to grade 12 math, that you can put together great credit card portfolios that work best for you.
And I'll just add, I mean, it's one thing to go to these various websites and consume the information that folks like Barry and Patrick are pushing out there, but it's also important to hear from fellow collectors and their stories. And I think that part of what we do on this podcast and certainly on the website is encourage collector feedback. It's important to hear the stories from folks that are figuring out how these combinations work, are doing them, and have the results to prove it.
I actually like that point because I remember we're talking about Chase and how they pulled out of Canada. So at the time, the Home Trust Preferred Visa was the only credit card that had no fee and no foreign transaction fees. So naturally, I was just recommending people sign up for them because it was similar to the old Amazon Chase card. But then I quickly heard from multiple people, and myself included, because I applied for the card, that the wait time was like 10 weeks and they're asking for some insane information. For a little while, I had changed my review and said, hey, you got to be aware, this is what's going on. So if you need to travel soon, maybe look at some other cards out there. So getting that feedback is key and just reading what's out there. And for bloggers like Patrick and I, we always let people know. We tell the truth, right? Like, it doesn't bother us to let people know when we're disappointed with certain products.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, it's a couple more questions here, and the next one is, it's bold prediction time. So let's put some bold predictions out there. We've talked about
what we've already predicted all through this episode.
We've talked about trends. We've talked about what we think we might see. Is there anything that you guys want to throw out there that may seem wacky on the surface, but may in fact happen that we haven't covered yet?
This is tricky because we have covered so many different things and what we expect. But I like to think that we're going to get another really new and good credit card in 2019. We've been spoiled a little bit. 2017 had the Cobalt card, as we talked about. Last year, we had the Scotiabank Passport card. So that's two companies that have had really brand new offers that were really exciting. So now it's up to the other players to make their move. Maybe that's TD Narrow plan, but RBC and BMO are probably just sitting there saying, hey guys, maybe we should do something.
So bold prediction might be either a new player coming in or
not a new player, but just a naturally good credit card that people are excited about from one of the big banks or one of the current players.
Good stuff. Patrick, what about you? Anything that we haven't covered that's bold and
So I said by one prediction, I foresee a 60,000-point sign-up bonus for the SPG Amex coming later this year. So that's my one prediction. Also, Amex membership rewards. I'm pretty sure. I mean, if you Google this, I'm not at liberty to say anything yet, but pretty sure there's going to be a new airline partner added to membership rewards this year. If you Google it should be out there, maybe on Reddit and some other places, because it was actually live for a couple of days on the Amex site back in July or August, if I recall correctly, and it was just being attested. And then it was pulled off the site. So just try and Google it, see if you can find it out, because I'm not going to say, but hopefully that actually comes true this year, that we get one more membership rewards airline partner. Other than that, I think, I was going to say some people are thinking that we may see when Aeroplan, and this will be more of a 2020 prediction, if there'll be any devaluation to the new Aeroplan Air Canada program. I think we may see it on the premium end. not on the economy side, because they still have to compete against all the proprietary credit card programs, against Air Miles, and those are all kind of more economy class based programs. So if there's going to be any devaluations, it's going to be on the premium side, which I really don't hope doesn't happen, because it just happened a couple of years ago. But Air Canada and Aeroplan are going to want to make up. Air Canada is going to want to make up the money that they've spent on reacquiring Aeroplan. So where does that come from? And that's that spread on miles and redemptions. So I think we may see it on the high end there. Other than that, I think everything is going to stay the course. It's going to be the same. We'll see, our typical hotel category changes come. Let's see what WestJet offers. I foresee maybe even some. I mean, they're even saying that there's going to be better benefits come from their Platinum program. So let's see what those are. I don't know what to predict there. Maybe we will see. Okay, here's my prediction. I'm not going to say we'll see. I'm making a prediction here that Platinums will get business class upgrades eventually. Because right now they're saying they'll get premium upgrades, which would be on their 737s, or maybe from economy to premium on the 787s. But I think WestJet's waiting to see how business class will actually sell. How will it sell for cash? And once they work it out in, 4 to 6 months, thinking, well, you know what? We're only selling 50% of the cabin. Let's offer some Platinums, some business class upgrades. Might not even be a published benefit. Might just be you know what, you're Platinum, you're checking in, you're in business, as a way to let the Platinums try out business class and hopefully get them to buy it in the future. So I think we'll see Platinums get business class upgrades.
All right, there we go. We got some great bold predictions on record here, and we'll see how they come to fruition. All right, gentlemen, final question for both of you. Let's just quickly cover off, what goals or travel plans do you have for 2019? And how about you, Barry? I'll start with you.
It's always hard to say with this. I've got a daughter under the age of two right now, so our travel plans are tough. But I'm thinking something simple right now, like California. I'm trying to avoid those flights to Europe or anywhere else right now. But and if I can do a luxury hotel within North America, I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, with your daughter under two, she's traveling for free. And
Yeah.
the day they turn two, the airlines don't give you a break. My son turned two on a trip, and that caused great grief. The airline, of course, he turned two on the trip, so on the way back we got dinged for the extra fare. Anyway, okay, California. What about you, Patrick? Any travel plans for 2019?
Nothing set in stone right now. Definitely spring break, we'll head somewhere. Different than Barry, my kids, as people probably are aware, are older. They're teenagers. So we kind of right now with their extracurricular and school activities, we kind of have to travel when everybody else does. I kind of miss when they were young, because we would travel outside of the busy times. So yeah, somewhere warm and sunny. Don't know yet whether it's Caribbean, Mexico. We always tend to go to California. We go there lots because it's easy out of Calgary. But we're all, like I said earlier in the podcast, that I'm starting to look at some of the maybe South Pacific or Indian Ocean places, but that'll be more for the summer or later in the year. But want to book it soon to take advantage of the 60,000 points per night for SPG Marriott. So definitely there'll be some long haul flights, but I'll be in the latter half of the year.
All right. Well, gentlemen, that was terrific. Barry, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing your predictions and
Time and time.
Your thoughts on the industry. We'll of course have to have you back on and see how well some of these predictions come true. So that's it for this week's show. Share any feedback with us, and as always, happy collecting. We'll see you and hear from you next time.